promises. Now, I love what Billy Paul Graham said one time. He said, some people are sitting on the premises, not standing on the promises. Amen. Amen. Standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, fail. When the highly stars of doubt is here, I sail by the living word of God.
What shall we be? Amen.
Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect, perfect cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally, my love's strong door. Overcoming daily by the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Maybe the children wants to come and say their verses for an oath. No verses today. Right, that's all right. I thought maybe he's... Aye, come on, you forward. Right, I want us to sing another song. I want us to sing, we're marching to Zion. Now yous are on your feet. And yous are not sitting on the premises, but you're going to stand on the promises. Now we're going to march to Zion. Amen. 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 Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for His mercy and grace. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
just let us bow this morning for a word of prayer before we turn to God's word. Thank you, Lord. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks this morning for the songs of praise that we can sing, Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can sing redeemed.
Yes.
That we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can say we know it was the blood. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the blood this morning. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, by the name of Jesus Christ, we come against every demonic force in Jesus' name. We come against every spirit that would exalt itself in this place in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that the Holy Ghost will have full free play in this building this day in Jesus' name. Lord, I say, Lord, let me step aside, Lord. Take over this service for the glory of God, Lord, that your name may be glorified and exalted and uplifted. Lord Jesus Christ, heal, save, and deliver this day in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, for you're a God of mercy. You're a God of deliverance. You're a God that can heal. You're a God that can deliver. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will see these attributes this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I pray that you'll keep your hand upon us, Lord. Let nothing be said, Lord, but your word this morning, Lord. Let my words be cast down, but let the words that's in your word, Lord, be exalted and uplifted and magnified and put in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. Let it, Lord, create a barrier against negativity, against the enemy's voice, Lord. I pray that the enemy's voice will be shut off in Jesus Christ's name for the glory of God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord this morning for his mercy and for his grace. Isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
Now this morning, if I can, I want to just speak for a moment or two on this here. Who or what is your power source? Amen. Now, I want to start right away. We'll turn to Matthew chapter 10 and we'll just read verses 1. Amen. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Amen. You may take your seats this morning. Bless the Lord. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he took them to Bible college. He took them down and he said, boys, get a dog collar on you so that you can look like something from somewhere else. Boys, you need to dress a certain way or you can't be in my club. No. He gave them power on what? Authority.
Amen.
Amen. Why isn't it wonderful? The devil wants to tell you, you have no power and you have no authority. The devil also wants you to create a club or a lodge. The devil loves clubs and lodges. Now, I have nothing against the Orange Hall. If anybody's listening, I've nothing against the Orange. But you know, the devil wants you to create a lodge. He wants you to create a club. And then when you create a lodge, you can write out wee different. You can get a wee rule book going. And you can have a wee rule book and you can get your wee rule book all geared up. And when you get your wee rule book geared up, if the Spirit of God wants to move, you would get your wee book out and say, where's that not wee book? Can't let that happen. Close the wee book quick. Can't limit God into our own wee rule book.
Amen.
Doesn't function in your rule book or my rule book. He functions in the supernatural.
Amen.
He functions in the when you're willing to accept it.
Amen.
Power and authority.
Amen.
He didn't give them a big bag of money. He didn't say, boys, we've saved up a fortune of money. There's a big bag of money. He didn't say, hey boy, how long have you studied in such a department, or how long have you been in such a Bible college before we could let you say a word?
That's right.
He didn't say to them boys, you need to get a certain education. No, what sort of characters did he go for? It says that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Unlearned and ignorant men. He went down and he seen fishermen standing on the sea shore. And he said, come with me. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Lay down your old net. Lay down your old garment. Lay aside all thoughts that would set your mind aside. Lay it all aside in the name of Jesus Christ and follow thou me. And in another place they said to him, when he said about a man, he said that some maybe here wouldn't die or whatever, and they said, what of this man? And he said, what is that to thee? Amen. Follow thou me. This world is full of people today, and they want to try and look at Jimmy or John or Joey or whatever. Name doesn't mean nothing, but they want to see somebody else.
That's right.
Why? You want to see what he done. I wouldn't be a Christian because he said he was good living. And he said he was good living.
That's right.
And they done this and, oh, he's good living for a living, that boy.
That's
the enemy's voice.
That's right.
I ain't good living. How can you call it a good living when you had to work 40 or 50 hours a week to make two ends meet? How's that a good living? What's so good living about that? But when you're born again, you don't know all these things matter nothing. God will provide.
Amen.
What did David say? He said, I was young. Now I am old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God is a provider. But what's your power source? Is your power source your boss? Is your power source whatever way you make your living? Is your power source following some guideline? What is your power source? We see the day in this day and age. Number one, there's power sources for electric. And they want to have green energy.
Yes.
To put a big wind turbine up. To pollute the natural beauty of the countryside. That's what it does. But you know, you get green energy. But the big wind turbine needs a place to store its energy. You need to put in a battery pack. If you really want to get the good out of these energy sources, like the solar panel systems, you have to have a store in place, a battery pack to store the energy. You know what's wrong with a lot of believers today? They've been running on the battery pack, and she keeps running flat. And then they have to run to get the boy with the jump leads. Phone the fitter. The digger won't start. Flat battery. Jump lead me every week. Oh, pastor, I need the jump leads.
Great.
Oh, I need the jump leads. Well, you know something. When you've got an experience with God yourself,
amen.
When you've got a born-again experience,
amen.
You're not depending on anybody else.
Yes.
Because once you depend on another man, you're finished. You're bit. There's only one man that can depend upon.
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the dependable one.
Amen.
Now there's brothers that can help you. But I want you to know when you set some man on a pedestal, he'll fall off it. He will fall off it. When you exalt some man to the position where Jesus should be in your life, you have missed the whole point. Jesus is the one we exalt. He's the one we uplift. He's the one we look to. Everything else is to guide you and point you to him. Not to exalt anything else. We turn our Bibles this morning here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 down to verses 5. What did Paul say? And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech.
Amen.
What is the first thing that you will notice when you get a man educated to be a preacher? He'll sound like a jet plane.
That's right.
One big drone. Did you ever hear a plane going over the house?
Oh, yes.
She hardly changes note. You have to learn how to be a jet plane. That's the first thing. I'm not trying to be smart or funny, but that's the truth. Every one of these men that claim to be ministers, now not I'm saying every one of them, maybe that's not very fair to say that, but a lot of these men that claim to be ministers, they have been taught how you should. Now, you need to have so many points now in your sermon. Make sure you get the points set up right.
Yes.
Like John says, the three-pointed plough. But you know, to educate you, you have to have so many points.
Right.
And eloquently and with excellence of speech,
yes,
bring your point across. And when the people come in, they could sit half asleep. They can go back out half asleep. And they can go back out spiritually half asleep. And you could sit like a stuffed shirt if you wish. Doesn't matter. But these men, what did he say? What did Paul say?
Glory.
And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What did Paul say about the teaching? He says, I count all but dung, that I might win Christ.
Right.
He had to forget all that stuff.
Right.
He had to forget all these things.
Yes.
He had to lay it all aside. He said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said he, imagine a man like that. Now if you were to line up a lot of characters and you seen Paul, get Paul's credentials. Let me hear about this man. This man went and persecuted Christians. This man wanted them to be put to death. He held the coat of those that stoned Stephen.
Right.
He was a man that persecuted those that called themselves Christians. But he was a chosen vessel by God.
Amen.
He was a chosen vessel by God. But what happened to him? Did he decide one day, I'll not go down to the Pharisees' college, but I hear these Christian boys have set up a good college, and I'll go to their college and I'll study there for a while, and it'll change my mindset from being a Pharisee to being a Christian? No. One day, what happened to him? He had an experience.
Amen.
He had an experience. He didn't say, why, my granda had a great experience. My daddy had a great experience. My uncle had a great experience. My whatever, my mother, anybody in your family had a great experience. No. He had to have an experience.
Amen.
You have to have a born again experience.
Amen.
When you have an experience, if God ever does something for you one time, there's no critic ever going to tell you it can't be done. There's no critic ever going to come to a man that was crippled, that was raised up out of a bed,
Amen,
or a man that had a limb that grew, and tell him,
Amen,
God can't heal today, you know. Doesn't happen anymore like that. God done away with all them things. Because, you know, it's such a great modern age that we live in. We don't really need God anymore. That's what people's trying to put across. But you see, this man, he said here, of speech or with wisdom of declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration.
Amen.
Amen. Demonstration of the Spirit and
Amen.
Of power.
Amen.
And of power.
Amen.
He knew what his power source was. Because that day he was traveling that road, and a light shone brighter than the noonday sun, and he fell off his horse, and the voice said to him, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art you, Lord? He says, I am Jesus whom you persecute. I am Jesus. He had an experience. Well, you say to me, but Paul's experience was a very supernatural experience. And you might think to yourself, well, like, I never really seen any big thing or nothing. It doesn't matter. What is your confession?
Amen.
What will you confess?
Right.
Will you confess that you're bait? Are you going to confess that you have no power? Are you going to confess that God can't heal you? Are you going to confess that you're going to carry whatever it is that's disturbing you? Or will you confess the complete opposite? Will you say that Jesus Christ on that whipping post took
Amen.
All my infirmities?
Amen.
And I have the power to overcome in Jesus' name. He says then on down here, verses 6, verses 6 on down to verses 9, he said, Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in mysteries, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Who? The denomination, the organization, a man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's a place prepared for those that love him. What did he say in Revelations in a few in different places? He said, I have somewhat against thee, because you forsook what? Your first love.
Great.
What's your first love? Who's the one that saved you? Who's the one that brought you out of sin?
Amen.
Who's the one that delivered you?
That's right.
But then we've got another extreme here. Did Paul take fear and never mention Moses or any of the prophets? Did he say, I don't mention them boys because such and a boy mightn't agree with that? No, he didn't. He wasn't afraid to quote what Moses said. We shouldn't be afraid to quote what a prophet of God said. A prophet of God said things that enlightened us. We shouldn't be afraid to say what he said. As long as it's ingrained with the word. And I believe a prophet agrees with the word. But you know, we've got the extremes every road. We've got the other extreme then. And then they'll take the prophet. And the prophet becomes their God. And they'll preach nothing but only the prophet. Now, Paul didn't do that. Paul says, I would know nothing among you but save Jesus Christ and him crucified. But then at the same time, when he was looking to put a point across, would he not have referred back to Isaiah? He would have referred to Moses. He would have referred to some of the prophets. Don't be afraid to mention God's servant. What is that there? What would the spirit be that wouldn't want that mentioned? What would that spirit be? That's called the spirit of handcuffing and bondage and stopping the move of God. There's nothing wrong with saying something that would encourage someone. But you know, there's other people that claim not to be denominational, but they have taught the same system. And their system is, if they come to speak, they would have to have a load of books all here, and they would spend all morning reading you a quote. Now that quote in the right context would do you good. But that quote taken as a full sermon on in the wrong context, it's not going to really do anything for you. Because there was no power. There's no power in any prophet. There's no power in any man. There's only power in the one that saved you. There's only one that can save. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the power source. Now we see today that there's another power source in this world today. There's another power source today that wants to hinder people, that wants to take over people's lives and wants to dictate to people and tell you what to do with yourself, when you can come out, when you can go in, and what you can do. What is that spirit? We can see that spirit in the Bible right away. We've seen that spirit real clear in Egypt. When the children of Israel was carried into Egypt, bondage, captive, what was under? The taskmaster's whip. Everything that old Pharaoh said, they had to jump up and salute him.
Right.
You know, sometimes, like Ian said one time, the boss, he can become like Pharaoh.
Right.
You have to bow down to Pharaoh.
Right.
If you don't bow down to Pharaoh, you're out.
Right.
You see, this is the same spirit. And when did we see this spirit? We've seen this spirit again in the days of Ruth. When we've seen a boy called Haman.
Right.
Haman was a great lad. So he came up with a system. He said, them people are affecting the whole place. They're upsetting everybody's way going. We need to get rid of them ones. They're out of the club.
Yes.
Get rid of them. But thank God, God sent a little Esther in there. And Esther come before the king. And the king seen what was happening. God opened his eyes and said, he couldn't sleep that night. He was troubled. He said, get me the Chronicles a minute. Get me the Chronicles. And they read through the Chronicles. And they found out that the man standing at the gate never had anything for him. Mordecai standing at the gate. Nobody gave him the time of day, probably. But he had done something great for the king. And the king said, how was this man ever rewarded? How was he ever rewarded? And now Haman, why, he heard what was going to happen to him. He was going to get a great reward. And Haman, he thought, why, this is fantastic. He went home and told the wife, I'm getting a job promotion. But he was wrong. Because his heart was wrong. There was a spirit on him. And we've seen that spirit is raised up. That spirit raised up again in a man called Adolf Hitler. The same spirit again was there. And that spirit wants to kill God's chosen people. You know, people hate that. What is it? The boy in Revelations, what is he called? The mother of harlots.
Yes.
The abomination of the earth. This boy, he will tell you. They're the ones that crucified our Lord, you know. They're not really God's chosen people. I am all authority on earth. And what has he got? That boy has got daughters. And them daughters will agree with him. Oh, I am a Trinitarian of a Trinitarian. And I will tell you the right way to go about it. You are totally wrong. How long did your mom study at Bible college? Are you sure you're really saved? What would that voice be? That's the same anointing spirit. That's that same spirit that kills the power of God. That's the spirit that wants to overcome what you believe. If you hear a lie long enough, you can nearly believe it. There's a man in our country, or there's a man that used to live, and we all know him well, and not say his name. But he was an expert at that. He told that many stories till the man nearly believed it himself. There's no harm mostly in the stories he told, but I mean, he told it that long that he believed it. And we've got people that have been taught something that long that they actually believe it. And you'll not steer them away from it. But God can. God can enlighten them. Does that mean you say, oh, I've nothing to do with that boy? What spirit would that be? What spirit would that be? You see, what was the spirit in Jesus? You know, Tommy spoke about it the other night, about when that woman come to him and he said, the children's bread. He says, he called her a dog, more or less. But she said that the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table. That was the right kind of spirit. She didn't come and say, oh boy, he said something and I totally disagreed with it. I'll not go back near that boy again. What would that spirit be? The devil wants that spirit to come upon you. He wants you to have the know-it-all attitude. The know-it-all spirit will kill the power of God. When you know it all, what can God tell you? Because you already know it all. But if you say, Lord, like the man that come into the temple to pray. One man, he stood up and he said, thank God that I do this and I do that. And he was letting everybody know that he was a great lad. But the other man come in, the publican come in, and it said he did not even so much as lift his head. He knew what he was, but he knew that if he approached God in the right way, that God would do something for him. And Jesus said that man went away justified, and his sins were forgiven. But the other boy went out the same way he came in, because he came in knowing that he knew more than everybody else. And he went back out knowing more than everybody else, and he got no blessing. He got no anointing. You know, what is that spirit? What is your power source? Are you depending on some solar panel to charge your battery? Are you depending on some wind turbine, as it were? Are you depending on some man's education to get you over the next hurdle? Are you depending on the pastor to come every Sunday with a set of jump leads to give you a jump start? That does you good coming to church. It is like getting a boost. It's a refill. If you congregate around people of like mind, it'll do you good. But if you, like the saying is, you can't cluck with turkeys, walk with chickens and fly with eagles, because it doesn't work. A chicken never understands where an eagle's coming from, because he's never been up there looking down. He's never soared into the heavenlies. He's spent his whole life scraping and clucking and looking into the ground. A chicken spends half his time with his head down.
That's right.
Because he's waiting. Maybe something will turn up. But the eagle doesn't do that. The eagle's up in the heavens and he can see everything. He's watching. He's listening. He's listening and he's watching and he's looking. And he sees the fresh meat.
Amen.
What I don't look the role of him. No! He flies out, he gets a bit of meat and he breaks it up because he knows he can't handle bones at the minute. He can't handle maybe something too much, but he knows what to do. He drops him in a bit of fresh meat that's going to help him.
Yes.
Uplift him.
Amen.
Strengthen him. Why, we need to get that attitude upon us. Even in nature, the fiery eagle has that spirit on him. The very eagle has a spirit to know that one of his kind is suffering.
Right.
One of his kind needs help.
Right.
And he doesn't say, fold his wings and look down and say, he can die down there if he likes. He says, no, I will go out and I will catch him because he's not fit to do it at the minute. I will help him because that's the right spirit on him.
Right.
He is the right power source. I don't know, this clock seems to be... See, if I held her right rotor, she looked all right upside down. Maybe she'd turn it upside down. Or she'd maybe do the... We believe the message of the hour. Amen. You see, then, let's just look a moment here again. Like I said, Jesus is the example, isn't he? When he called the men, he gave them power and authority.
Amen.
He didn't get them and say, now, be careful what you say. Be careful how you do this. Be careful how you do that. He said in the Bible, be careful for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication.
Yes.
Amen. If we look here to Isaiah 40. I hope that the Lord will bless you this morning. That's
Amen.
My desire. I'm not trying to be a critic, or I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm not trying to make out that I know everything. But we're blessed because we heard the voice of a prophet. That's the fact of the matter. The fact of the matter is, we were down in the iron chicken coop hooking about. We were down walking about with the head down, but maybe didn't know it. We're hooking about wondering what happened in Genesis. We're hooking about wondering what is the true baptism. We're hooking about wondering, I wonder when God will send back that spirit of Elijah again. We're hooking about thinking, maybe someday that'll turn up. But God enlightened you.
Amen.
God enlightened me. And he let us see that God sent a prophet in the 20th century. And the prophet didn't come for us to worship the prophet. But he come to make this Bible more clearly to us. You know, when a very priest, a man that was so far away from God, what did he say? He said, listening to Brother Branham brought him closer to Jesus Christ. It didn't bring him closer to Brother Branham. He didn't say, boy, he's a great lad, put him up on a pedestal. But it brought him closer to the one that he was pointing him to.
Amen.
Because what? He demonstrated the word of God. Power on demonstration. The bride of Jesus Christ should have the same power on demonstration as was in the book of Acts. And you say to me, why do they not have it? Well, it has to be unbelief. There's only one thing that will stop the move of God quicker than anything. What is it? It has. If you don't believe God, what did Jesus say? Even Jesus couldn't do many mighty works because of unbelief. Jesus, the one that had the fullness of God in him, God in flesh, said in one place, it was probably, I think it was his home place, because he said, a prophet have not honour save in his own country. Because you see, in his own country, he was just a carpenter's son. He's just a carpenter's son, and there's a mystery over that boy. But not really too sure what the story is there, but he could have been born out of wedlock, that fella. And would have to watch him. And then, you know, the carpenter's son, that's you see, them boys down there could be Branhamites. Them boys talk about somebody called William Branham. We better Google him now. And then some Antichrist hypocrite will come up on Google and he'll try and explain to you how he was all wrong. And if you went to that Antichrist hypocrite and said there's a man there dying, would you go and pray for him? But I don't believe in miracles anymore. Miracles don't happen anymore. Days of miracles are finished. But that man was wrong. He was totally wrong. Totally, completely wrong. Now, even in the Bible, there was men that wasn't the apostles that went out and they were casting out devils and they were preaching them. And the disciples come to Jesus and said, get these boys stopped. We can't have somebody else doing this. We're the only ones that can do that. Jesus said, such don't speak lightly of me.
All right.
If God's moving and doing something, don't stand it. Get your boot into it. But praise God for it. Praise God for it. Amen.
Glory.
Isaiah 40 and verses 28. Isaiah 40, verses 28 down to 31. And hast thou not known, and hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not.
Amen.
Neither is weary. There is no searching of understanding. He giveth power to what? The faint. He giveth power to the faint, unto them that have no might. He increaseth strength.
Amen.
Even the youth shall fall. Sorry, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah! They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen! Doesn't say they'll be like a chicken in a coop. It doesn't say they'll be like a turkey. But it says they will mount up with wings as eagles.
Amen!
Amen! This was even Isaiah, the prophet, before Jesus even was crucified. But Isaiah spoke of it. Didn't he say, who hath believed our report? And he told about the Messiah was to come, and he said that he would be wounded. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He's acquainted with grief. He knew what it was like to lose his friend. He knew what it was like for everybody to turn against him. They spat upon him. They mocked him. The very people, when he was coming into Jerusalem, the very people was in, oh, it was a great praise service. They were throwing down palm leaves. They were exalting him. They were praising him. The great deliverer's coming. But you know, that old spirit got in there then, didn't it? That old spirit got in. Religiosity spirit come in, and religiosity spirit brought him before the court. And they got drummed up charges on him in the Sanhedrin court. They said, this man is a false prophet and he is a blasphemer of God. But there was no truth in the matter, was there? Then they brought him to the Roman court. What do they want to do? They want to bring you into subjection to what now? What does all the wee mother, what does all the wee daughters want to be? Under Rome! What is that spirit? Does that spirit give power and authority? Does that spirit give liberty? No! That spirit brings control and stops the move of God.
That's right.
But you know, they brought him in, Pilate, and now, dirtboard as it were, forgive the expression. But a man that was not a believer, even recognized, when he heard his case, he says, I find no fault in this man. Now, if somebody that was far away from God, a Roman that believed none of these things at all, could see that there's no fault in him, what will you do today with Christ? What will you do with him? What will you say about him? Is he your power source?
Amen.
Is he your power source? Are you depending upon him?
Yes.
You see, that's what I'm saying. There has to be a balance, because if you sat out and you said, I am depending on a man, and you thought, if you studied everything about this man and studied all that, that would give you that. No, you need to study the Word of God.
Right.
But you know, things that prophets say help you to understand that, and God will enlighten you with it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Amen.
I'm going to leave it at that this morning, because I don't want to go on and on and on, because then you know what will happen. You'd be going out saying that bike kept us all day. You wouldn't be going out saying you got a blessing, but you'd be going out saying he kept us all day, and he went on and on and on. So I'll not go on and on. Let's just stand our feet this morning a moment with before I hand over to Tommy, and I'll just pray before we hand over to Tommy this morning. I hope that the Lord has blessed you this morning.
Amen.
If you have any need this morning, you speak to that need. You speak to that need this morning and tell it. Whatever it has to do, tell it to do it now. If it's something in your body that's annoying you, tell it. No room for you here anymore. I'm finished carrying you. Can't carry you any longer. Jesus Christ bore all my infirmities at the whipping post. All my diseases he took at the whipping post. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that your word, Lord, gives us light, Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning that your word sustains us, Lord. That your word satisfies us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help, Lord, and continue to put a hunger and a longing in us, Lord, for you. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll help us, Lord, to come more closely to Jesus. Amen. Help us this morning to see you more clearly, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will touch my brother in Jesus' name, Lord. Touch that infirmity. We cast it down in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we speak to it this morning and say, there's no more room for you in that body. We say this morning that the anointing power of the Lord Jesus Christ will come over that body now, Lord. Touch the back. Touch the knee. Touch every joint, Lord, in the body. Touch the heart. Touch the circulation system in Jesus Christ's name. We come against all viruses, all things that would come against our body. Lord, I pray you'll put upon us a shield. Let that hedge of fire be lit round about us afresh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Pour on more oil on the flame, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, continue, Lord, to let your anointing power be upon us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to speak the truth, Lord, at all times. Help us, Lord, not to waver with man's thoughts, but let us bring your thoughts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray if one thing has been said, Lord, that's not of you, Lord. If one thing's amiss, Lord. Lord, I pray you'll forgive me. Lord, I pray that you'll touch your people, Lord. Lord, erase it from their thinking. But Lord, everything, Lord, that was from you this morning, let it sink into our hearts and into our thoughts, Lord. Let it, Lord, do us good in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, I pray when the enemy comes in, Lord, that we will be like you, that we will speak the word to him, that we will say to him, it is written. Amen. Hallelujah. Sin, it is written. That we are healed by his stripes. That by his stripes we are healed in Jesus' name. It is written this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, let us quote your word to the devil, Lord, every day. Let us repeat the things that you said to him in Jesus' name. And let him, Lord, depart from us, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray that you'll touch the pastor, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help him and strengthen him. Lord, I pray that you'll touch each and every one this morning. Help, Lord, and strengthen those in this place this morning. Those that couldn't be here. Lord, I pray you'll touch them. Help them, Lord. Uplift them, Lord. For those that the enemy has spoke lies into their ear. Lord, I pray they'll hear your voice, Lord. That they'll hear the loving, tender voice of the great shepherd. The chief shepherd. The good shepherd will speak to them this morning. Lord, let them hear that voice. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless us, Lord, as we continue, Lord, to worship and praise you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And the Lord could.
Amen.
Praise God. You know us. I'm going to sing in a moment, 217, I'm Rejoicing Night and Day. Now Simon was preaching there and was saying about Pilate. And I always think about this. I know you've probably heard me saying it before, but an old preacher years ago preached a lot on the cross, and he had a neighbor that was an artist. And his neighbor came to him and he said, "Brother, I have a great painting that I want you to have a look at." And he says, "You're preaching about the cross." And he took him down and he showed him this great painting. And this great painting was Christ before Pilate. And he said to the old preacher, he says, "What do you think of that painting? Christ before Pilate." And the old minister sort of rolled his head back and he never answered him for a bit. And he said, what are you thinking? He says, I'm thinking of a better paint, a better picture.
Amen.
He says, a better picture than that picture I drew. And he said, yes. He says, I'm thinking of Pilate before Christ.
Amen.
And he says, Christ was once before Pilate, but there's a day coming when Pilate will be before Christ.
Amen.
And every man will stand before the Lord, isn't that right?
Amen.
And all those that maybe won't accept God, won't serve God, there's a day of judgment coming. Praise God. Let's sing this then. After we sing this, maybe our brother or sister play softly, and we'll just go out nice and quietly. And let's, you can talk outside if you want to talk, but let's go out quietly and be prepared tonight. I'm going to take up one of the miracles of the Lord. And there's so many miracles of the Lord, but there's a wee saying that's really struck me, something that was said in one of the miracles. I'm going to bring it tonight, the Lord willing. You pray for us this evening at 6 o'clock. And then next Sunday morning, our brother John, our elder, will be preaching. And we'll be here as well on Thursday night, the Lord willing, at 7:30. 217, I'm rejoicing night and day. Praise God.